What is Truth by H.P. Blavatsky? Bite 1. There is no room for absolute truth upon any subject whatsoever in a world as finite and conditioned as man is himself. But there are relative truths, and we have to make the best we can of them. In every age, there have been sages who have mastered the absolute and yet could teach but relative truths. For none yet, born of mortal woman in our race, has or could have given out the whole and the final truth to another man. For every one of us has to find that to him final knowledge in himself. As no two minds can be absolutely alike, each has to receive the supreme illumination through itself, according to its capacity, and from no human light. The greatest adept living can reveal the universal truth only so much as the mind he is impressing it upon can assimilate, and no more. In proportion as our consciousness is elevated towards absolute truth, so do we men assimilate it more or less absolutely. Still, each of us can relatively reach the Sun of Truth, even on this earth, and assimilate its warmest and most direct rays, however differentiated they may become after their long journey through the physical particles in space. To achieve this, there are two methods. On the physical plane, we may use our mental polariscope, and analyzing the properties of each ray, choose the purest. On the plane of spirituality, to reach the Sun of Truth, we must work in dead earnest for the development of our higher nature. We know that by paralyzing gradually within ourselves the appetites of the lower personality, and thereby deadening the voice of the purely physiological mind, that mind, which depends upon and is inseparable from its medium or vehicle, the organic brain, the animal man in us, may make room for the spiritual. And once aroused from its latent state, the highest spiritual senses and perceptions grow in us in proportion and developed pari passu with the divine man. This is what the great adepts, the yogis in the East and the mystics in the West have always done and are still doing. Bite 2. Now, since truth is a multi-faced jewel, the facets of which it is impossible to perceive all at once, and since, again, no two men, however anxious to discern truth, can see even one of those facets alike, what can be done to help them to perceive it? As physical man, limited and trammeled from every side by illusions, cannot reach truth by the light of his terrestrial perceptions, we say, developed in you the inner knowledge. In the time when the Delphic oracle said to the inquirer, "Man, know thyself," no greater or more important truth was ever taught. Without such perception, man will remain ever blind to even many a relative, let alone absolute truth. Man has to know himself, i.e., acquire the inner perceptions which never deceive, before he can master any absolute truth. Absolute truth is the symbol of eternity, and no finite man can ever grasp the eternal. Hence, no truth in its fullness can ever dawn upon it. To reach the state during which man sees and senses it, we have to paralyze the senses of the external man of clay. This is a difficult task, we may be told, and most people will, at this rate, prefer to remain satisfied with relative truths, no doubt. But to approach even terrestrial truths requires, first of all, love of truth for its own sake. for otherwise no recognition of it will follow, and who loves truth in this age for its own sake. How many of us are prepared to search for, accept, and carry it out in the midst of a society in which anything that would achieve success has to be built on appearances, not on reality, on self-assertion, not on intrinsic value. We are fully aware of the difficulties in the way of receiving truth. The fair heavenly maiden descends only on a, to her, congenial soil, the soil of an impartial, unprejudiced mind, illuminated by pure spiritual consciousness. And both are truly rare dwellers in civilized lands. Selfishness, the firstborn of ignorance, the fruit of the teaching which asserts that for every newly born infant, a new soul, separate and distinct from the universal soul, is created. This selfishness is the impassable wall between the personal self and truth. It is the prolific mother of all human vices, lie being born out of the necessity for dissembling, and hypocrisy out of the desire to mask lie. It is the fungus growing and strengthening with age in every human heart in which it has devoured all better feelings. Bite 3. Theosophy is divine knowledge, and knowledge is truth. Every true fact, every sincere word are thus parcel and part of theosophy. One who is skilled in divine alchemy, or even approximately blessed with the gift of the perception of truth, will find and extract it from an erroneous as much as from a correct statement. However small the particle of gold lost in a ton of rubbish, it is the noble metal still, and worthy of being dug out even at the price of some extra trouble. As has been said, it is often as useful to know what a thing is not as to learn what it is. For as said, theosophy allows a hearing and a fair chance to all. It deems no views as sincere, entirely destitute of truth. It respects thinking men to whatever class of thought they may belong, ever ready to oppose ideas and views which can only create confusion without benefiting philosophy. It leaves their expounders personally to believe in whatever they please, and does justice to their ideas when they are good. Indeed, the conclusions or deductions of a philosophic writer may be entirely opposed to our views and the teachings we expound, yet his premises and statements of facts may be quite correct, and other people may profit by the adverse philosophy, even if we ourselves reject it, believing we have something higher and still nearer to the truth. To sum up the idea with regard to absolute and relative truth, we can only repeat what we have said before. Outside a certain highly spiritual and elevated state of mind, during which man is at one with the universal mind, he can get naught on earth but relative truth, or truths from whatsoever philosophy or religion, or even the goddess who dwells at the bottom of the well to issue from her place of confinement. She could give man no more than he can assimilate. Meanwhile, everyone can sit near that well, the name of which is knowledge, and gaze into its depths in the hope of seeing truth's fair image reflected, at least on the dark waters. Bite 4. Concerning the deeper spiritual and one may almost say religious beliefs, no true theosophist ought to degrade these by subjecting them to public discussion, but ought rather to treasure and hide them deep within the sanctuary of his innermost soul. Such beliefs and doctrines should never be rashly given out, as they risk unavoidable profanation by the rough handling of the indifferent and the uncritical. nor ought they to be embodied in any publication except as hypothesis offered to the consideration of the thinking portion of the public. Theosophical truths, when they transcend a certain limit of speculation, had better remain concealed from public view. For the evidence of things not seen is no evidence save to him who sees, hears, and senses it. It is not to be dragged outside the Holy of Holies, the temple of the impersonal divine ego, or the indwelling self. For while every fact outside its perception can, as we have shown, be at best only a relative truth, a ray from the absolute truth can reflect itself only in the pure mirror of its own flame, our highest spiritual consciousness. And how can the darkness of illusion comprehend the light that shineth in it?